Amen. All right, so we're in Romans 15, 1 through 2. There's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Just, yeah. Thank you. We're in Romans. Did it go through? Are we on mic? Are we live? Am I too loud? We're awesome. So Romans 15, 1 through 5, 1 through 2. And I'm sorry, sometimes I'm horrible with names. So new visitors, we usually go through and I ask you guys to read. You know, it's just usually a verse or two. But we'll start out with Ryan. Can you read 1 through 2?
We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scripture.
The scruples.
Of the weak and not to please ourselves.
The scruples. So scruples, since we, sorry. That was my fault.
Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to identification.
Edification. Okay, since scruples, that's kind of a word we use every single day, right? But we all know what it means, right? No, we don't know what it means. Scruples. So it's anybody know what scruples means? Yes.
It means failing successfully.
It means what?
It says failing.
Yeah. Well, I guess it would be scruples is kind of like morals. So your scruples, it's not good morals. It's kind of like messed up or failing morals. But for the last three chapters, Paul has been talking to the reader or writing to the reader, and he's trying to let them know how a Christian should behave to other people, right? So bearing others' burdens. Now we know what burdens means, right? Even though we don't really use it. So it's what they're struggling with, what their scruples are failing at, right? So helping others what they need before ourselves, because we're trying to edify them, meaning lift them up. In Mark 10, so let's turn to Mark 10, so be to the left. Or you could just look at the screen. Mark 10, 43 through 45. Lana, can you read that?
Yes. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.
So does that all make sense, right? Sort of. Has anybody ever flown in an airplane? No? Nope. I don't know. It wasn't that. You'll get a chance. But at the beginning of the flight, yes? Have you flown in an airplane?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. I've never flown in a small airplane. I've only flown in the big airplanes. But usually, you know, they stand up in front and the flight attendants, right? They're like, exits this way. Not in the small ones, this way and that way. And then what happens if the cabin loses air pressure? Anybody remember what they say?
Huh? I don't remember exactly what they say.
Exactly. I need word for word, clear, please. No, what do they say? No, I was joking. What happens if the cabin loses air pressure? She had her hand raised. No, you're exactly right, Ryan. The mass. Remember the mass, and they show you the little mass falling down. And then when the mass falls down, you're all in panic, and what do you do first?
You cry.
Then what do you do second? You put it on. Right, exactly. Now, and then the stewards will say, if you have a small child next to you, what do you do?
No.
You help them put it on first or second?
Second.
So, Gary, how come Paul says, you know, looking for others first? Now, what is the reason why you put your mask on first? Right.
No. That way
two people don't die.
Exactly.
Actually, the reason you put it on first is so that you'll be strong enough, you'll be healthy enough, you'll be able to help others, right? Now, this might sound like a contradiction, but I don't believe it is, because if you're not strong enough, you can make that situation worse, right? Because then you have two people struggling to get air, not just the one. What's your own help out, right? No, it says, those who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. So once we're strong Christians, we have an obligation to help those around us. You know, kind of like putting on the air mask. So if we have the air mask on, we're all good. You know, we have the obligation, if our neighbor is struggling, small child or not, to put that air mask on or help them out, right? We have that obligation. In Romans 15:3, Jaden, can you read that, please? So Jesus, we know Jesus is the ultimate example, right? It's the ultimate example. Everything he does is right. But if this is hypothetical, if he only cared about himself, or he cared about himself more than others, do you think he would die for our sins? Do you think he would have died for our sins? Do you think he would have been born a prince? Maybe have a ton of servants, have everything handed to him, you know, being waited on hand and foot, if he cared for more than, or if he cared for himself more than others. But we know that Jesus cares for us all. He loves us all. And he did not come to be served, but to serve. He came to help out, to help others. In Matthew 23:11-12, Aiden? That's Aiden, that's Bub. I really like this verse because, you know, it just shows you that. And sometimes Pride is hard to struggle with, but pride is, if you break it down, those who put themselves first. And they will be humbled. But those who put others first will be exalted. In Romans 15:4, Bub. Okay, so what are the scriptures for? For learning.
Comfort.
Hope. Right, exactly. They're for all those things. Now, the reproach of those who reproach you fall on me. Yes. Reproach. Attack. You're coming against, you're reproaching somebody, they're in your bubble, you don't like that, that's a reproach, right? So those who insult or attack Jesus fall on me, is what they're saying. You know, because it's a capital U, the reproach. So in John 15:18, Aurora? What is it?
Elora.
Oh, wait, I thought it was like the Disney princess. Sorry.
If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you.
So, Almy's wondering, where is the hope in people hating you? I don't know. That's what it's like. You start thinking and. Did anybody see that or no, or the reproach? Are you all good people not liking you because you like Jesus? Or yes, no, maybe so. Eh. So there's hope in there. There has to be hope in there. 2 Corinthians, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 7. Isaac?
Yeah. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you do partake of the consolation.
So, meaning that if we're partakers in suffering, we're also partakers in the reward or the consolation. So because if they hate us because we're being like Jesus, you know, if we're following the ultimate example, we're doing something right, right? If we're doing that, we're doing something right. And there is hope in that. There's hope in doing the right thing. Right? No matter what, in being steadfast in doing the right thing, even if people don't like it, even if the people who are around you don't like it, is because you're following the ultimate example. You know, people hated God, and it's good to be in that company. Does that make sense? Romans 15, 5 through 6. We're back in Romans 15, 5 through 6.
Josiah.
Josiah? I knew it was a J. Sorry. So how many look around the room and you could see that we're all different, right? Right? We're all different. You know, some might be Jewish, some might be Gentiles, some might have traditions what differ from yours, right? They might celebrate a thing differently. You know that we all have different personalities, right? You've noticed that growing up through school? Even your siblings having different personalities. You know, some are very competitive, and then some are more chill, right? Ever notice that? Ever be that way? Sometimes there's a mixture of both, I know, but, you know, some do their homeworks right away, and it seems like most teenagers wait till the last minute. Anybody does their homework right away? You try? That's good. That's good. I was horrible. I mean well, but I meant well, I should say. I don't have too much homework anymore. Some have to have things in their perfect place. I know my daughter had to have everything in the right angles. I don't know anybody like that.
OCD. Yeah.
A little OCD. Sometimes have to have their shoes perfectly lined up. And then some are, let's say, a little bit more creative. Their rooms could be organized exactly the way they know how to find things. Right? You know, parents call it messy, but we call it creative. We are all not going to think the same way on every single matter. I know you guys been around a while, right? You realize that, don't you? You know people. And being a little bit different on your thought, that's okay. That's not what Paul's talking about. Being like-minded, he's talking about towards others. He's talking about in your stand with God and what you believe that there is a God and what that we should glorify him. He's talking about being like-minded in those things. Being nice to people, believing in God and glorifying him. That we can do. We can be like-minded in that. Even though we do different things, even though we're really competitive in a sport and there are some people who just want to play for fun. But we can agree, or we should agree, on God. It's about working together. If everybody's doing the exact same thing, yeah, that thing is going to be done very well. It's going to be the best little gadget out there. But nothing else will get done because we're all working on the same thing. So we need the different personalities. We need the differences to make everything work, to come together. In Romans 15, verse 7, Silas?
Therefore, receive one another just as Christ has also received us to the glory of God.
So God, you know, he loved us even if we were still sinners, or when we were still sinners, right? He loves us if we're a little failing or we're falling down, but he still loves us. And if God did that for us, how can we not turn around and show the same love to other people? Because we're supposed to emulate him. We're supposed to be just like him. So we need to love others. Romans 15, 8 through 12. I know this can be a lot. Logan, thank you. If you, we'll split it up if you want. We could do 8 through 9, and I'll give somebody else the others.
Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the
circumcision. All right, do you want me to keep reading, or do you want me to give it off to the rest of the... Somebody else. Stephen, can you read that? The 10 and 11... Jesse.
And he who shall rise to
reign
over the Gentiles, and him the Gentiles shall hope.
Thank you. Thank you, Logan and Stephen. So, there was a lot there, right? There was a lot there, and sometimes it goes into the old, but you know, Jesus became a servant to the circumcision. So that's the Jews. We know that there's Jewish, right? And then the Gentiles, right? We're talking basically about those two groups. So he became a servant to the Jews to confirm God's promise to Abraham, right? There was a promise to Abraham, which is basically the main Jew, or the father of the Jews, and from him all the Jews came from. So there was a promise to be a great nation, right? But Jesus also came back to demonstrate God's mercy for everyone. And he's not talking about just certain people. He's saying everybody. That includes the Gentiles. Now, Paul goes through and quotes four passages from the Old Testament. Now, they're from three different sections. So if you look at the Bible, they're all split up into sections. That's why the books, sometimes they'll even overlap, because they're all in kind of sections. But there's a section, there's the law section, there's the prophets, and then there's Psalms. So he takes one from each one of those sections. So basically, he's saying that the whole Old Testament, this is in every part of the Old Testament. Then he takes from those passages are from three great Jewish leaders. They're from Moses, David, and Isaiah. So there are these, so as great leaders, so as the Jews, they'd be going, well, this is in the Old Testament, there's leaders, and then the Gentiles, but they're like, whoa, okay. Now he shows that God's plan has always been to bless the Gentiles. Now, I'm not sure how you've been taught or anything, but, you know, God came to the Jews first, but he always had a plan for the Gentiles. He always wanted to bless the Gentiles. And this shows it. Now, if God can look past the differences. And there was a big difference between the Jewish religion and what the Gentiles began with their foreign gods and their worshiping idols. If he could look past the differences and love everybody the same, we should try to extend an olive branch to everybody or those around us. What does the olive branch represent? You probably heard that term.
Peace.
Peace? Right. Peace. Working together to glorify God. Right? We need to work together to glorify God. Now, not work together to do bad things, but work together to glorify God. I want to make that clear. Romans 15, 13. Cassia? So may we find joy in encouraging others. May we find peace in helping your neighbor. And may we have hope. May we grow strong in hope, letting the Holy Spirit guide us. Anyone want to close in prayer? Volunteers? Lana?